Hello, folks of the Extraordinarily Fresh community. We welcome you to the Thanksgiving holiday of the Extraordinarily Fresh podcast. Here is your host, Ismail Ahmed, co-hosting with Brad and Simon. Holla at them, guys.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. A little late, but, you know, still works. Happy Thanksgiving weekend.
Hey, what's going on, Fresh fam? Happy belated Thanksgiving. Over here eating my leftovers and enjoying my clinched playoff spot. Hope y'all are good.
First, we're going to start off talking about how Week 11 treated all of us. You know, for me, big win. Gets me back in the playoff run. Big matchup this week against Skip. I know there's a lot of people. I mean, we had some crazy games that we're going to talk about later on in the podcast. But everyone else, you know, chime in on how Week 11 treated you.
Well, I mean, I played Ish, so, I it sounded like it went well for him. It didn't go so well for me, but I'm used to that. Both put up – I mean, I put up a fairly decent score, good enough to win a few of the games, but ran into the Rashad Matthews, Le'Veon Bell, Minnesota defense buzzsaw. So that got me. Ish, congratulations. And, I'll try to bounce back and see if I can get one or two more before the end of the year, try to stay out of this putrid talk, but we'll see.
Yeah, man, that sounds good. So how does it feel, Simon, you know, as a freshman in the league, you know, baptizing yourself, you know, with a playoff berth? Let them know.
Hey, all I'm saying is, you know, when I inherited Daryl's team, I think I remember Ross saying something like, if he doesn't finish in the top five or top six, that I should be kicked out the league. So I'm glad I already got that handled. It wasn't pretty. I didn't score the highest amount of points in the league, but I had big pickups from Tyreek Hill, the Vernon Davis, and now I'm really just trying to go into the playoffs as strong as possible. I'm about to get Sammy Watkins back. I made a move for Golden Tate. So I think this whole thing about me being the first rookie to win the Super Bowl isn't looking that unrealistic anymore.
What do you think? You Dak Prescott now, bro?
Hey, I'm better than Dak Prescott, all right? I'm Ezekiel Elliott. I'm running all over the league. I'm going to win the championship. I'm putting it in the end zone. That's just what it is.
Oh, bold.
Uh-oh. I like it.
I like it. All right. So, who are studs and duds of the week for you guys? I mean, for me, especially when it comes to fantasy, I mean, I had great performances from Rashad Matthews. You know, he balled insane. Then I had Le'Veon Bell, you know, playing like I expected him to play, you know, $80-something paid. That dude, so you know, he put in work. And then Minnesota defense, man, they are a seesaw though. Some days they get you 20, some days they get you 3. But Odell Beckham, man, I mean, he's been frustrating me, but at least the Giants got the W, man. So, what's up with you guys, studs and duds for the week?
For me, I mean, I didn't really have a whole, I just kind of had a consistent performance. Devontae Parker was my high score. Seems like he might be finally coming around. Maybe I still have him next year again for part of the rookie draft from last year, so I get him for free. Maybe he's starting to turn around. I can really count on him for bigger things next year. But, you had a couple big scores against me, like you said, Bell and Matthews and the defense. And, if you look at like the high score, which is our Skip for the week, he got some good production out of multiple guys. Rob Kelly got him a good score, but I didn't see a ton of like high scores over the weekend, unless I'm forgetting somebody. Maybe Simon has somebody or that he has in mind.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking around the league. Decent production across the board. I really like a couple quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, one of those guys, probably drafted him for like $8 and is carrying some games later in the season. But I want to mention somebody, the real Frenchman, Pierre Garçon, coming through with the 116 yards and touchdown. You know, I mean, that's huge from a guy who, you know, you just pick up later in the draft. And also, I got to shout out Doug Baldwin for throwing a touchdown. I mean, that's impressive right there. You know, multi-talented. That's really impressive.
Yeah, that is. That's true.
Yeah, Lamar Miller kind of balled out. You know, T.Y. played good. Steve Smith coming through. I mean, there was some good plays, you know, from those guys. Then you have Crowder scoring 22. And then, you know, this is no surprise here, David Johnson, 38 points. You know, all across the league, the scores were a little down, but there were some really standout players for each team that really, you know, kept them afloat. I mean, you have Thielen scoring 17 points for Minnesota. You know, you have Edelman scoring 22, Kelsey 20. I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, there was some decent scores, but then, you know, there was a lot of underperformances. I mean,
yeah, it seemed like one of those weeks where it's all or nothing. You know, a lot of there was some guys that had some higher scores, like we've been naming off, and then, like you said, there's a lot of guys that kind of laid an egg for the week. You know, where they're just sitting on. You know, I mean, like for instance, you know, AJ Green. I mean, he got hurt, so he, you know, he had zero, so he got hurt right away, and that really hurt. Clint, because he got less than 2 points from Hearns and Green combined, and you're not going to win games like that. So, and then his defense got him -2 also. So, you know, you're looking basically at like three positions got him negative, you know, negative points there. That's gonna hurt. So it did seem like there wasn't a lot of in between. There was either some, you know, higher end or lower end scores for the week.
Yeah, man, that Cincinnati team, yo, they lost what? AJ Green and Bernard?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that hurts a lot.
Yeah, man.
I'm sitting here looking at a Jules team too. I thought Jules was gonna be the one to make the late round rush to the playoffs because her team was looking good. But then you come up with 3 receptions for 5 yards from Crabtree and no receptions from Dwayne Allen. You know, they just didn't come through when she needed it the most. So, you know, I'd have to say those are my 2 biggest duds for the week.
Yeah, I'd say Crabtree really let her down. I know he had a couple drops on Monday Night Football, so I know that was definitely a problem for him this week.
So any other surprises out there?
I mean, overall, I mean, I really thought that Chad might be making a run here towards the end of the season, but he came up short on points too. You know, he traded for Stafford for me, and he didn't really put up much for numbers, you know, against Jacksonville, only 11 points. And, you know, his running backs have kind of let him down with Duke Johnson and Yeldon. And then he had Ladarius Green also put up a 0. So that one was kind of surprising to me. That was probably the biggest surprise of the week for me, because I really thought it seemed like, I think he'd won the last week or two and seemed to be, maybe he could make that late push for the final playoff spot, but his team really seemed to let him down this last week.
Yeah. All right, so moving on, what was your biggest surprise in game action? I mean, for me, was that, what, 100-yard or 90-something yard interception by Xavier Rhodes?
Oh, yeah, that was nice. That was nice.
Yo, apparently he hit like 22 miles per hour on that run. It's crazy. Next gen.
That's faster than my max speed on my car.
I know. I was riding in it the other day.
Hey, don't let the league know how much of a hoopty I got, all right? We're going to keep that under wraps.
I'm joking, bro. talking about Stafford, how about them Lions, man? Comeback kids, what? 11 games, you know, they were down in the fourth quarter, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, when you got somebody like Stafford, you know what I mean? He he's up and down, but what I will say is that he has a top-notch elite NFL arm. I mean, he can throw the ball anywhere as fast as and as accurate as he wants. And I think that when you have an offense that can be dynamic like that, you know, you always got to wonder. Plus, their defense has been playing pretty good too.
All right, man. So now we're going to, you know, talk about the weekly wrap-up. So last week we had a bunch of good games, but relatively low-scoring week. So the first game we had Eric Jacob High Rollers. He defeated Chad Stairway to 7, 137.7 to 87.72. He did this behind a beautiful game from Cousins, Amari Cooper, Boyd, Zeke Elliott, the $100 running back. I mean, that boy is killing it. Jay Ajayi, Jimmy Graham. I mean, really great pickups. Zach Ertz, all of them scoring double digits for him. Not much happened for Chad, but, I mean, noble effort, I guess, on his part. And then the next game we had, JR Nemesis defeated Clint Sandy Ravage. Another lopsided game, 136 to 88. Clint was projected to score 135, was actually the favorite, and, you know, really came up with a donut. I mean, the AJ Green injury really hurt Clint, and then Allen Hurns not even scoring 2 points was really bad. Nemesis had solid performances from Kelsey and from White and T.Y. Hilton. Gurley hasn't been as much of a beast as we expected this year, but, you know, he's been overall pretty good. Then we're talking about our man Simon. Mr. Stelia Gurley defeated Shane, the king of bench points. I mean, it wasn't pretty, but it was sufficient. 115 to 90. Behind Carr, man, that guy Carr is a beast. LeGarrette Blount, 15 points. Doug Martin, 13 points. Reed, 12 points. Garcon, 26 points. So solid production. Then we had a big game of the week where we really thought Jewel would really put herself in contention for that last playoff spot by defeating Ross, but she didn't quite come through. Ross scored 136.7 to 125.18 behind solid performances from Brady, Crowder, Sterling Shepard, Carlos Hyde, Kobe Fleener stepped up, Riddick stepped up. Solid game. I mean, we expect Evans, Cobb, and David Johnson to score, but the rest of the team has to really do something for her to actually get some W's. And then we had my game versus Brad, 138 to 121. Wasn't such a, you know, lopsided affair. Both of us scored pretty well above the 120 mark. I had, I mean, awesome performances from Rishard Matthews. Le'Veon Bell scored 37, and then 22 points from Minnesota. One really shining spot for Brad was Devontae Parker. Maybe he's coming into his own. But he really got to get rid of Osweiler, man. Osweiler ain't cutting it.
Look, don't come for Brad, bro. Brad just needs a little time, you know.
I'm not coming.
To work on the shake weight a little bit to get that throwing arm up, and he'll be good.
Yeah, Osweiler was trash.
Hey, he was just the 1 week fill in because I traded Stafford. and the funny thing is. Because Rivers was on bye week. The funny thing is, Osweiler actually scored more points than Stafford. So, you know.
But you know what the funny thing is, though, is that Osweiler is a real winner because he got a multi-million-dollar contract. So he's right. Laughing all the way down to the bank.
Right. I think he got 4 years, about $72 million. So I think he'll manage.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's good.
And then we have AJ. Henry P. McCoy defeats Roland. House Money, 114-81. That was a putrid matchup. Both of them sucked.
Dang, bro.
I mean, they did, bro. They really did.
How you really feel, Ish?
I mean, they really did, bro. But what can I say? I mean, there's nothing to really talk about. It was that bad.
I feel you.
And then, you know, the commish Skip Sincere Douche defeats Ronnie, the great one, the undefeated, well, now defeated. 157-126. I mean, that was Clash of the Titans. You know, that Kelly, 34 points. Who saw that coming? And then Lamar Miller, 22 points. Landry, 13 points. Aaron Rodgers, 32 points. I mean, I hope he played the 26 points from Dez Bryant. I hope he played this in Daily Fantasy. This, you know, at least to get some money, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that would have been a good daily lineup for sure.
That would have been a good daily lineup because that would have matched to, like, a, you know, the cap. This looks like a cap team, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it does.
I mean, my question is, how do you have three running backs that you could bring back as keepers? Or three wide receivers that you could bring back as keepers. That's crazy.
He has four running backs he can bring back as keepers.
Yeah.
Four. He has, like, eight potential keepers.
That's crazy, bro.
I think he's set up pretty well for the offseason to make some trades. And maybe
Aaron Rodgers, Dez Bryant, Landry, Rawls, Kelly, Lamar Miller. All of those are keepers, man. Literally
his whole starting lineup minus Eddie Royal and Seattle defense.
Right.
Bro, Malcolm Mitchell scored almost 20 points and he was on the bench, bro.
Yo.
Anyway,
Mitch has some secret algorithm over there. I'm catching on to it, though.
Bro, he's coding something there, bro. He's not sharing with us.
No, we got to get on.
I'm going to find out what your Python script does.
Yo, whatever it is, man, Skip, you got to let us know so we can sell that joint and make a lot of money.
Yo.
Anyway, so we're going to move on, you know. So what you guys think about the low scoring? What happened this week?
Players are tired, man. It's almost Thanksgiving. They're traveling around trying to see their family. They're tired. They're like, we just go out here and throw a couple balls and try and get in the end zone. You know, I think it's just the end season low. Plus, I think the defenses are starting to learn or have mastered other team strategies. So – are like, you know, we know that this team's XYZ is going to run. We know this team XYZ is going to pass. So I think that teams have really adapted. It's kind of the inverse of what you see on the first day where there's such high scoring because you really don't understand what each team does yet.
Yeah, I can see that. And then I would say a couple things. You know, it was really one of the last bigger bye weeks. I know Atlanta and Denver were on bye weeks, a lot of fantasy points come out of those two teams, and I think probably a little bit of a change in weather too. You know, some of these colder weather climate teams, you know, it's not quite as easy to air it out. You know, we've seen it here recently with some of the college games, and we're going to see more and more with pro games here in December, in November, December, is, you know, the wind picks up, it's a little bit colder, it's not quite as easy to free pass, you know, everywhere, you know, left, right, and center. And you have to see if some of these teams can find their running game again. So I think weather may have a little bit to do with it. Not that there was a ton of bad weather, but, you know, just a little bit extra wind, a little bit of the coldness might take away some of that passing game.
That's a good point, Brad. Which a game was it where literally whether you passed or ran depending upon what side of the field you were throwing to? Forgot about that game.
Yeah, I'm not sure which game that was, but I've seen that happen before, and that makes it pretty tough.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, how about all, you know, one surprise I forgot to talk about was you saw all those missed pats, you know, like, that's crazy. How do you miss 12 of them?
But that's one of the best changes to the NFL, because why would you just not make somebody get 7 points for a touchdown if they're always going to make the point after. I like that addition.
Well, I think there's two ways to look at it. I think one is you can like that addition, and it makes it a little bit harder to get that point. Or two, you can look at it as, you know, it was the NFL record for most missed extra points in a week. And, you know, some of it had to do with the weather. I know there was some wind games and stuff, but I think four or five more actually in domes too. But the second way to look at it is, as a fan, do you really want kickers to just have that much say in an NFL game? I know there's arguments on both sides of that. And you say, well, it's still a fairly short field goal, and they can center it or move it to each side or whichever they prefer or whatever. But it's still, you're giving kickers more control over the game. And, you know, some people might like that. Some people don't like that. You know, I mean, I know Pittsburgh, for example, has kind of taken the approach to go for two more often, and maybe teams will start doing that more now that kickers are missing more. So maybe that's where that strategy comes in, and kickers will actually be taken out of the game a little bit more. But, you know, there's two ways, you know, like I said, there's two ways to look at it. If you like the kickers controlling less or more, or having an actual impact on the game.
Yeah, I think it definitely makes the game more dynamic. I also like it because it makes kickers earn their money. I mean, literally, you sit on the bench the whole time and come out for one play every, like, 30 plays, and you guapping up, like, million-dollar salaries. Come on now. You know, you got to have some pressure on you to get you in the gym doing some squats and to actually be able to kick the ball to that field goal. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, let me ask you guys. What do you guys think? Would you prefer to have no extra points at all, and like you just automatically get seven unless you want to go for two, or what do you guys think?
No, I think it's awesome to have. I mean, it's a chance. I mean, it's a high pressure situation at times. It's not a given. I mean, we saw last week. It's not a given. So I mean, I think it's good, and then it allows you to build in that strategy. Oh, let's go for two. You know, let's get two. I think it's
good. I agree with this.
Right. All right. Well, yeah, I'm just curious on what people thought. I mean, hey, we eliminated the kicker from the league, so you know, maybe the NFL is going to eliminate kickers too.
Yeah, that's true.
I doubt it. The kickers union is going to put up a big fight.
Yeah, the kickers union.
Hey, Me and my friend were talking about, we wanted the first kicker that was a defensive special teams specialist who could just, like, kick the ball and then lay somebody out at the other end of it.
Oh, hey.
So maybe we'll start seeing some, like, linebacker kickers or something.
That kicker for – he plays for Penn State, I think. He's, like, 270 pounds, and he did that.
Hey.
Go look at it on YouTube. It's good.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out, bro.
All right, guys. So what do you guys think about Ronnie's – first loss, finally. What do you think? I think he just got lucky, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Ronnie's had a great season. I mean, you know, a little bit of a wink at him for his imaginary defense finally faltering a little bit. You know, I mean, he put up a good enough score to win. Not anything special, but, you know, with some of the scores this week, I think he was still in the top half of the league in scoring. So he ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw with Skip this week, who put up high points. So, you know, it's one of those things that, I don't really know if I believe in the it's due theory, but maybe there was a little bit of that. I mean, he's had a lot of good weeks, but he's skated a couple weeks too, where if the matchup wasn't right, he would have already lost. So it was a great run. I don't think I'd ever been a part of a league where somebody was 10-0 at one point, but you know, congrats to Ronnie on the great run, and see if he can keep it up in the playoffs.
And I think, you know, especially what you're saying about the playoffs, this becomes especially relevant. So in the playoffs, you have an enrichment of teams that score a higher average per game. And so I think that you start to see the possibility to go 3-0 in the playoffs go way down.
Sure.
And I think for Ronnie's team, I mean, look, Ronnie has a good team. If you look at his total points scored, that being said, once you get to the playoffs, that probability goes way down. So I think that it becomes much more relevant to talk about him losing this week now that we're entering the playoffs, where a lot of teams are going to be scoring maybe near what Skip scored this week.
Yeah, I could see that. It's kind of like the, you know, the baseball type theory. When you get in the playoffs, you know, the offense goes down because you're only facing the good pitchers now.
So yep, exactly.
You got to step up your scoring game in the playoffs for fantasy football because now, like you said, only the teams that are averaging the higher scores are going to be there. So, yep, I think that's a good point.
So since we're talking about Ronnie and his playoffs chances, let's talk about another top team. What do you think about Eric's team?
Eric's got a good team. Like, I think we threw a lot of shade at him for drafting Ezekiel Elliott at a $97 price stamp. Look, next year when he's $120, I'll still be throwing shade at him because I'm gonna be like, now you still only have a small amount of money. But what I will say is that he's done a great job buying very low budget players. So I mean, you're talking about Jimmy Graham, somebody who he got for like dollars. And he's performing. And so he did a great job of finding value despite the fact that he had a lot of his budget go to Ezekiel Elliott. So I think Jacob can go very far in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, when I went through the rundown of his team, you saw a lot of his players were scoring double digits. I mean, it's very solid.
Yeah, I think the biggest shade thrown towards him as far as Elliott goes before the season was his future cost. I don't think anybody – I mean, maybe somebody did. I didn't really question his 97 this year, considering, you know, Marshawn Lynch went for 99 last year. And considering how good Dallas's offensive line is, and I'm not taking too much away from Elliott. He's a really good player, but – I really believe that even if Alfred Morris was their running back, that he'd be doing maybe not quite what Elliott is, but I think he'd be having a really, really, really good year. So that offensive line has really helped him and Prescott. And, I mean, yeah, Eric got some good deals. He got, I think, pretty fortunate that Jimmy Graham came back healthy from his injury and he got him for a dollar or something. And, you know, he's been riding Kirk Cousins and Prescott for his quarterbacks that came cheap. It's not like he spent a bunch of money on, you know, Brady or somebody like that. So, you know.
He also picked up a Jay Ajayi, too.
Right,
I mean,
right.
That's a great pickup right there.
Right, because, I mean, you look at him in the first week of the season, because he was on somebody's roster. I guess he was on Eric's roster to start the year, but, I mean, the first game of the year, Miami went to Seattle, and he didn't get the starting job over Arian Foster, and he was pouting, and they didn't even take him to Seattle because of that. So
wow.
you go from week one to where the guy doesn't even make the trip to Seattle to, you know, 6, 7, 8 weeks later, Miami's offensive line comes back healthy. They're all playing together for the first time and playing well, and he gets back-to-back 200-yard games and goes for 100, and now he's just kind of like one of the solid top 5 or 10 running backs in the league every week that you can kind of depend on double digits with. Which in 2016 is hard because there's so much timeshare and injury and different things. It's hard to really get a running back where you can count on somebody like that. So, yeah, he's really come through pretty big for him.
Shout out to Eric. I mean, look, I thought he was crazy, but sometimes the ones you think are crazy are the masterminds, are the great ones. And I will have to say he did a hell of a job managing his roster given – $97 of his roster was taken out at the beginning. So shout out to Jacob.
Well, we'll see how mastermindful it is like next year when I think it's 118 and the next year it's like 135 or something. So yeah, we'll see how that goes in the future, but it's looking good this year.
Yeah. I think he's going all in this year and he's going to shit it
better.
So next on the docket is how is the race for number 5 and 6 going? I mean, I think it's all about number 6 now, right? It really isn't about number 5, is it?
Yeah, it's all about number 6. Because you know, I'm not trying to brag here, but I do have the but I do have the the tiebreaker on both you and Skip. So I think it's about the number six spot here.
You can brag a little bit.
All right, I'm bragging. Thanks, Brad.
Yeah, well, all right. So what do you guys think about this race, you know, for number six? Who's going to get it? Is it going to be AJ, or is it going to be me, or is it going to be Skip? I mean, what's going on? What do you guys think?
I've been having dreams about this. One day it's one day it's Skip, one day it's AJ. But I will say is that Skip has a strong team right now. I mean, look, we just went through the whole roster and said, look, all of these players are potential keepers. I think that his team has suffered a little bit from both injuries, but also from a very high digital offense that's been scoring a lot of points against him. If I had to roll the dice and, you know, gamble a little bit, I'd probably say Skip is going to take the number six spot, but that's just me.
Well, that really should be decided this week. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
I mean, AJ has a very tough schedule coming up.
No, I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, I would probably lean right now. I'd probably lean towards Skip making the comeback and getting in that sixth spot, but mainly because of like we were talking about with his roster, he seems to be trending upward. But of course, we kind of thought that about Chad last week too. So, you know, it's a week by week thing, man. But I just by looking at matchups and rosters and stuff, I'd put my money on Skip to make that final spot right now.
So what about the showdown? I mean, it's really going to be decided at least between me and Skip this week, depending on who really wins. Well, I mean, obviously we could both he could win and I lose. I mean, there's a lot of scenarios, but this is a big week for us. The week already started. You know, I got big points from Le'Veon Bell, a dud from Minnesota defense. He got some great points, you know. So what do you guys think how this game should pan out? I mean, you already said you guys are in favor, but it's looking really close.
Yeah, it looks close. I'd have to say if I'm you-ish, I'd be worried about Aaron Rodgers versus Philly. I mean, look, Philly has a good run defense, but that's about where it ends. And I'd be worried about Lamar Miller versus San Diego, but – I mean, you're right. It's still wide open. You know, you got Fitzgerald versus Atlanta, ODB versus Cleveland, Cam Newton versus Oakland. I mean, it's wide open right now. The cool thing is that no matter who wins between you two, if AJ still loses, the spot's still wide open. Which I think is an exciting point. But if you look at the live projections, I mean, you're projected to win by about 1.9 points. You know what I mean? So it's like
technically both him and I still have to insert a player.
Yeah, that's true. That's so true. You both have the flex position open.
Yep.
Now let me ask you a question. Why have you all not put a player into the flex position yet?
We're playing chicken right now. So, you know.
Okay.
Gamesmanship. I like it.
Yeah, we try to hype this up, you know. I actually benched the roster for a majority of the week.
I like that. So, but yeah,
I'm sorry, guys. I'm back in.
I would say we probably shouldn't leave AJ out of this conversation because I could just see AJ coming on the boards after he wins if he listens to this podcast and say, hey, man, you guys didn't give me respect, you know, whatever. Now I'm going to be, you know, now I'm a game up. And I'm going to win the last game and be in, you know, whatever. Wow. So, you know, I mean.
Jewel's going to take care of him for us with David Johnson.
All right. Well, I will say, since he does have a game up on you guys right now, I mean, I guess maybe he should be the favorite for it. But I guess, you know, I'm really interested in seeing what happens in your guys' game this week and to see maybe – one of you guys kind of sneaking that last spot passing to AJ in the last week.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the waiver wire report. You know, this week was all about picking up players that have been dropped before. That's really what it is. Smallwood, Hooper, I mean, Cap. Yeah, nothing crazy, you know what I mean? But
look, I dropped Patton, and the only thing interesting about him is that he has the same name as World War II War General. That's it. You know, I mean, the guy does nothing for me, and I just dropped him so I could bring Sammy Watkins back into my roster.
Word. So we had several trades before the deadline. Let's talk a little bit about that. We had Sincere Douche trading away Eddie Royal and getting back Amendola. And then we had Mr. Steely Gurley trading away essentially Adrian Peterson for Golden Tate. And then we had Sincere Douche trading away Landry and Keenan Allen for Edelman and Olsen. And then we had myself trade away Carson Palmer, Rishard Matthews, Sammy Coates for Cam Newton and Larry Fitzgerald. So anything jumps out to you guys?
I mean, look, Adrian Peterson was sitting on the bench. I had to get something for him. I felt like Itch's trade was really good. It's tough to lose Rishard Matthews. You're not sure about Sammy Coates, but Cam Newton and Larry Fitzgerald, you know, that's huge blow potential in case you get in the playoffs. I have some questions about some trades, though. King of bench points, man. Look, you train away all your keepers, bro. I mean, you're getting a couple keepers back, but Emmanuel Sanders, Delanie Walker, and Devontae Adams, bro. Like, come on, man. Look, you train away all your keepers, man, to good teams. Just keep them, dude. Just keep them.
Yeah, I agree with that. But yo, the reason why I actually wanted to trade Rishard Matthews, I mean, Cam Newton is definitely an upgrade from Palmer. Fitzgerald, more or less the same thing as Rishard Matthews. But Rishard Matthews, man, has a bye.
Right.
On
next.
I had to trade him. There was no hope of me making playoffs if I didn't trade him.
Yep, I agree with you. I mean, I would say. I think I like all the trades for the most part. I think everybody kind of got what they're looking for. I just find it interesting that there seemed to be a big flurry among the teams that were trying to make that last push for the playoffs finally. Because I know there was some talk on previous podcasts about the lack of trades for the year. But I think here in the last week or two, they've definitely made up for it.
Yeah, you know, I think teams get constricted, you know, when things get more solidified and certain teams definitely are not going to make it. They're like, hey, let me set myself up for next year. And Brad, shout out to you because I really feel like you did one of the best jobs of setting yourself up for next year. I mean, you got Demaryius Thomas is a huge keeper. And that's really only the beginning of it. So,
yeah,
you know, you made some really good moves near the end of the season.
Thanks, man. Yeah, that's what I've been trying to do and try to improve. I didn't want to completely give up on this year because I'm, you know, still hoping to make it. I'm not a run at it, but just like I want to stay competitive this year and stuff. But I was also trying to set up for next year. So maybe collect as many assets as I could for the off season to, you know, possibly make even more trades or collect some draft money. For a guy here or there, so I've been pretty happy with what I've been able to do so far, and that's just for me. And then what I was gonna say with everybody else too, it does seem like once one of the contending teams makes a deal, then that kind of starts the dominoes, and then the next one's like, well, I got to keep up with him, or you know, the next one's like, I got to keep up with them, and I got to keep up with them. So everybody starts making deals, and I think we've seen that a lot here in the last week or two with everybody's trying to keep up with somebody else who's in contention for that playoffs.
Yo, truth be told, though, I am excited for 2018. Why? Because no more keepers from that rookie draft. I swear.
Yay.
I am I have the worst keepers in the world from that rookie draft. Oh, my God.
Who do you have?
Dorsett and Kevin White, bro.
Oh, that's tough, man. That's tough.
I want, like, honestly, every time I look at them on my roster, I'm like, yo, I wish I could just discard them.
Like, yeah, I'm sitting there looking at Keith Marshall, which is a big IRL on my team.
Yeah, I got David Cobb sitting on my bench, and I think he's on the Steelers practice squad right now. So he's not doing me any good either. So
tough.
See, man, those people who took Ajay, David Johnson, Gurley, you know.
Yeah.
The people who took the running backs, man.
Well, look, maybe that high amount in the rookie draft is worth it, you know. And then you look there and you say, 3 years later, I have one of the best players in the league, you know?
No, right. Absolutely. But the thing is, I'm not so worried about the one like this year's rookie draft where we paid like, you know.
Right, because you actually paid for them.
Yeah, there's some type of, you know, reaping, you know, there's a cost. But those, there was no cost, man. I mean, at least
going
now.
Going forward, right.
Going forward, there's no cost. And I'm just like, every time I look at it, I'm like, so sad.
Yeah, and it's going to be, it'll be even a bigger advantage next year for those, for the people who got two good ones. Not that there's many, but even if you got one really good one, it's a big advantage to spend zero on a guy.
I know. I'm going to talk crap.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to talk crap a little bit, but if you had a top rookie from that year and you're not making playoffs, that's sad. Like, seriously. I'm like, my mind is blown that some people have these amazing players and they built the teams that they built.
Yeah, it's a big advantage. And then the people who didn't pick as well, or if you have a guy like I do who's not even on an active roster right now and he's taken up a spot on my bench, you know, I mean, we have deep rosters and everything, but it's still a spot that could be something where I could be taking a flyer on somebody who's turned out, you know, turn out later in the season or something like that, or it could be a fill-in for injuries or bye weeks or something, and it's just a spot I don't have.
Yeah, but when Skip comes in, we got to ask him about that. I believe there's a rule in this third year or something like that where you could drop the rookie somehow with some minimal penalty. I don't know. Because, I mean, in your case, it would probably be better to drop Cobb.
It would be nice. I'm not gonna lie.
For me, I mean, I might as well keep Dorsett. I might as well keep Kevin White because those guys, they have potential. They just
they're guys that will get drafted anyway. Somebody will throw a buck on them here or there. So.
I know. We might as well like hold on to them. Anyways, now it's time for the commissioner's corner. You know, we welcome the commish, Skip. And take it away, man.
All right, great. So the way I want to start this out is, before I do the power rankings, is actually addressing some of those questions and addressing the playoff thing too. So any questions for me before I start the power rankings?
I would go with the question that he was just speaking of. Is there a loophole to drop one of those rookies from last year?
Yeah, there is actually a loophole. The way it's going to work for next year is you'll still be required to keep that rookie through the draft. But what will happen is that you will be able to drop that rookie. So basically what would end up happening after the draft, right? You can drop that rookie after the draft, and it would be a penalty of $10 in FAB for every rookie that you drop.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, for you, Brad, let's say with David Cobb, it would actually be beneficial for you to, you know, just keep him through the draft and then drop him probably immediately after.
Sure.
And then just take that $10 hit.
Yep, that would work probably.
I would like to invoke the democratic process and propose a referendum. is there a possibility that if our rookie is in IR, that we can no longer that we can drop him but no longer incur the $10 penalty? All in five favor say aye.
All right, so goes on IR. Hold on.
So here's what you're proposing. You're proposing to change a grandfathered rule, which seems like two votes to me. It seems, I don't know.
Simon acting like the Electoral College right now.
Yeah. Look, it's political season, and I had to throw something in there.
All right, and then just to address the whole, you know, issue with me and Ish this week. Yeah, I mean, realistically, it's down to whoever wins this week. I understand that there are some mathematical scenarios where, you know, if whoever loses can, you know, win out in week 13 and AJ loses, then there's a possibility. But, you know, really for Ish, I think it's based on points. If you lose this week, you're out. And I think
100%, I know that. Yeah. It's win or go home every game for me.
Yeah, and I think for me, like, if that whole situation with AJ losing actually happens, then, you know, it's a possibility based on points that, you know, if say I got nearly high points this week and maybe high points in week 13, then perhaps I could sneak into that spot. But yeah, I mean, obviously it's win or go home this week. I that's how I'm treating it. And that's why I made two trades. I made the Amendola trade just to cover myself because I know what happened to Julian Edelman last year, and I don't want that to happen to me this year. And, you know, if he does go down, Amendola will step in and do some things. And I'm glad I picked up Malcolm Mitchell. If you listened to last week's podcast, you'll see that I got a little bit of inside intelligence on Malcolm Mitchell, but I knew he would actually do well last week, and I don't even know why I didn't play him. But yeah, it's going to be interesting this week.
Malcolm Mitchell is a boss.
Yeah, the dude's good, man. I watched him. You know, he went to the University of Georgia, so, you know, obviously I've watched him in college, and he's done extremely well. I'm really happy to have him, and he's a potential keeper, no doubt about it.
You know, if he was white, he would score 40. Brady just likes the white.
Oh,
I'm not even going to touch that one.
I really do think that that's why Brandon LaFell didn't thrive there.
Well, LaFell did thrive there for a season, to be fair.
You know, true. But look, both Belichick and Tom Brady voted for Trump. I don't like that as a black player. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Belichick was very quick to brush off that in this news.
Seattle.
All right. So moving on to the power rankings for this week, there is a shift at the top, and I mentioned in last week's podcast that if something happened, that the shift would come, and in fact, it did. So Eric is now number one, and Ronnie is now number two. Now, this doesn't only reflect me beating Ronnie, although it was probably the highlight of my season, unless I make the sixth seed. But Ronnie going forward, it looks like he's trending down. And so, you know, he's going to trend down in the power rankings as well. Eric is trending up, and of course he will trend up in the power rankings. And then number three, I actually have Ross. And then number four, I have Simon. So congrats
hey,
to Simon.
I never would have thought that I would have seen the top four. But you know what? Shout out to you, Commish. Salute.
Well, you're trending up. I mean, what is it, a four-game winning streak you're on now?
I think it's five, sir, but who's counting?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's five now. Yeah, so definitely congrats to you on that, and top four is well-deserved. And then at number five, I have Nemesis, JR. He's up and down every week. It seems like he's sort of the most the team with the greatest spread of points over the weeks. So you're never sure what to expect from him. And then at number six, I do have AJ. He deserves it with the 5-5 record that he took into week 11. And you know, it's really going to come up to it's going to come down to him beating Jewel this week. And then at numbers 7 and 8, I have in order Ish and then myself. Ish is at number 7 because of having Odell Beckham and Le'Veon Bell. I mean, it's a it's an extreme advantage there. But the rest of his team doesn't show up, then he has the chance to get beat every week. Whereas my team has more depth and balance across the entire lineup, but I don't have the high-end stars that Ish has. And then at number nine, I have Chad. I still think his team is good, but obviously he's not going to make the playoffs. Number 10, I have Jewel. Hopefully she downs AJ this week, and you know, we can, Ish and I can still stay alive. And then I have Clint at number 11. Obviously, we made a trade, and he made a trade that was really for next year, getting Jarvis Landry and Keenan Allen, but I think it was good for him heading into next year. And then number 12, I have House Money, Roland. And 13, I have King of Bench Points, Shane. You're right, Ish. He made some questionable moves for keepers. And I think, Simon, you mentioned it too. Yeah, man, the keepers are gone now. He has some pretty good keepers, but he had more that he traded.
A message to Shane, though. I'm trying to trade you Doug Martin, dude. He's a real keeper. Trade with me, man.
Yeah, he should listen to that. Listen to the podcast, Shane, and then get back at Simon within the next 2 hours or so. All right. Well, no, actually. We're talking about PST. So within the next 5 hours.
Yeah, it's too late. You're right.
All right. And then, of course, number 14, Brad, you're sitting there. But, you know, obviously, if you win this week, man, I might put Shane on you. I'm serious about it because, you know, really at 13 and 14, I'm looking for who can lose the putrid playoff. And at this point, if your team is trending up, then I don't think you'll lose it.
Hey, I actually have more points than Shane, so maybe.
All right, there you go. So, yeah, next week, if you get the win this week, man, I definitely see you going up all the way to 12 perhaps. You know, we'll see what happens there with Roland.
Yeah, I have more points than Roland, too.
So my question is, does the power rankings or the standings determine the putrid?
It is the standings that determines the putrid. So
okay.
The number 13 and 14 players in the standings will compete over the 3 weeks of the playoffs, and whoever scores the least points over those 3 weeks gets putrid. Yep.
Okay. Brad, I got my money on you for non-putrid this year.
I appreciate it. That's why.
What happens if Roland gets a putrid again? Is it a lifetime ban or what?
Yeah, it's pretty much a lifetime ban. Yeah. I'm just gonna say that right now. I guess lifetime in the sense that, you know, we'll say that the statute of limitations is like 5 years or so.
Right.
So you know, maybe 5 years from now.
But he's so much better than me. That's the thing.
Yeah, he is better than that. I mean, he's a former champion of the league, obviously, so he is better than that. And, you know, he's placed in the top three multiple times. So, you know, it's terrible luck, man.
I know, man.
All right, so if there are no more questions, that's my appearance here with the power rankings.
Well, now, you know, as the high point winner, you know, you're the special guest of the evening. You get to talk shit to the league, so
hey,
the floor is yours.
Well, I mean, I think first of all, I think I talked enough on the hangout with my memes and everything about the great undefeated, and you know, I tried to pick things that were very appropriate. The my brother's tweet was the one that was the one that had me cracking up.
That one was good.
that would have me cracking up, I'll admit. But, yeah, man, I think it was fitting that it was me that beat him because the weekend that the season started, you all know that we were at the Hall of Fame, the Basketball Hall of Fame, and he came to Boston and visited for that. And he actually said when he was there that he would actually go undefeated. And it was kind of jokingly. And, you know, I was like, no, you're going to get beat within the first couple of weeks with that team you have. And then when, you know, some things started happening, like Amir Abdullah went down and Danny Woodhead went down, I was like, no, you're definitely not going undefeated. But it just kept happening. And, you know, he kept rubbing it in my face. And so I'm like, it would be fitting if I'm the one to defeat you. And, of course, it happened. And, you know, on top of that, getting high points, I mean, it made it even sweeter. Like I said, this is the highlight of my season if I don't make the playoffs. And I'm completely happy with that.
I'll fill you on that. Do we have a precursor for the playoffs with Ronnie starting out not so great against Jacob High Rollers this week, though.
Man, I think that matchup is already done. Like, Ronnie he's getting downed again. And in fact, you know, not only is Eric going to surpass him in the power rankings, he actually is going to surpass him in the rankings now. And, you know, Ronnie's still going to get the first round bye. Looks like he might face you, Simon. I think you have the fifth seed wrapped up, right?
Hey, yep, I got the fifth seed wrapped up.
So, you know, like, let's say you win your first round matchup, it looks like he'll be facing you in that second round. So, I mean, whoever he faces, you know, it'll be either you or I'm guessing it'll be Ross or JR that'll get that four seed. So, yeah, whoever he's going to face, man, it doesn't look good for him in that second round of the playoffs.
Well, let's go.
Yeah, but I mean, I think going forward, man, Ish, I wish you the best this week, or at least that it'll be a good game, that it won't be a blowout. That's all I don't want to see. But I hope I come in on the higher end of that close game.
I mean, you know, I have faith, you know what I mean? In my squad, I built a good team. I expected them to do better. Injuries really hurt me. I mean, I lost a lot of games where, you know, I feel like I should have won. But, you know, it is how it is. But, you know, may the better team win. The team that will go the farthest, may they win.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that the team that should win is the team that has the best chance to get through the playoffs. And, you know, I think it'll be that way this time, especially with the trades that we made. I know I made some moves, and then you made some in retaliation. And I'm sitting here trying to make last-minute trades too, but –
Yo, this is like the Cold War right now. I mean, this is like nuclear powerhouse. Yeah, I mean, you're just constantly threatening each other. This is crazy.
I was about to play Doyle, you know what I mean?
I was wondering who you're going to put in for tight end, man. I know I like the bench your roster move because it does make your opponent think, and I was trying not to think too hard. But then I was looking at tight end, and I was like, man, who is Ish going to play at tight end?
And then I said, hell no. Andrew Luck ain't playing. I ain't playing this dude.
Good call.
No, and then Dorsett, I was like, hell no, I ain't playing this dude.
I thought for sure you were going to make a trade for a tight end. Like, I was sitting there looking at everyone's roster to see who would trade you a tight end, and I was going to try to hit them up and try to get something from them before you traded with them.
Dude, trust me, I've been trying. But, it's okay. I think this is going to come down to how well Odell plays, how well Cam plays for me. Everybody else is going to score, you know, what I kind of expect, I think. Unless Fitz, you know, has one of those games, you know.
Which he could. I mean, he's the only one doing well. But the only thing about Fitz, though, is this week he is matched up against Trufant, it seems. So, you know, he will have a hard time, I believe. But, you know, he'll probably break out a few.
Yo, man. Old man power, son. Old man power.
Well, actually, so I'm making a DFS play on John Brown this week because of that Trufant situation. I mean, Atlanta's passing defense is not good. So, you know, hopefully one of those receivers breaks out, and I'm banking on it being Brown.
Nah, it's going to be J.J. Nelson, watch.
You think?
Yo, he's just a better player.
Really?
I think so. I mean, I
don't know. I don't see that. I mean, I see both of them being a deep threat, obviously. I think John Brown has better hands than J.J. Nelson. J.J. Nelson drops a lot of passes.
I think John Brown is better when Palmer can get the ball out there.
That's true. That's very true. With a capable quarterback.
He hasn't been able to get the ball out there, so I'm sorry. I still think what's-his-name on the short pass is better than John Brown.
No, I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. Yeah. I think in terms of pure raw talent, John Brown is better, but I agree with you. With Palmer's limited ability, yeah, J.J. Nelson is probably better.
Yeah. Yo, but, you know, the Giants playing Cleveland. Watch me play Victor Cruz, too. Oh, my God.
He's bluffing. He's bluffing. Victor Cruz is not going in and starting lineup.
Yeah, I don't
know that. No, he is not going in and starting lineup. No, if you saw for a while there, I actually had in that second flex spot, I had Malcolm Mitchell there. I was content with leaving him there and letting him play it out, but it turns out that Chris Hogan might play, and if he does play, Malcolm Mitchell's not starting for me. So we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, it was, let's wrap this up by talking about the preview for the week. And, call it a day. So the matchups this week we have is Eric versus Ronnie, the two best teams in the league. Eric is heavily favored to win, and, Zeke already got started on that, so this one's a wrap. Then we have Nemesis versus King of Bench Points. JR is going to wrap this one up nicely. What do you guys think about that? I mean, I don't even think that's even, worth talking about, right? And then you have Chad versus Simon. Chad is projected to win. What you have to say about that, Simon?
I mean, look, I've been beating the projections all season long, all right? Yahoo needs to update their algorithm. It's crazy, okay? All I'm saying is that I've already started off pretty good. Jordan Reed got injured, came back, got me 24 points. So I'm very confident about my position right here, right now. That said, things could update on Saturday. But either way, I just hope that Jordan Reed is healthy for the playoffs.
And then we have Clint versus Brad. What do you think, Brad? What you think you're going to do?
I think I got a good shot. I caught a break. He had AJ Green get hurt last week, so he's been a little thin at wide receiver, even having to start Rashad Perriman at one of his flex positions. So, I'm projected to win. I had a decent start with Rudolph yesterday. He got me 15.5 points. He was about 5 points over his projection. And I think I got a shot. Unfortunate for him with the AJ Green situation. So I don't know. I got as good a chance as I've had here recently, I guess, before the week really gets started to pull out my second victory of the year.
Word. I think you got a great shot too.
My money's on you, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Hopefully. I mean, I know I'm already guaranteed to be since the standings are 13 against 14 for the Putrid. The best I can do is 13th, so I'm already guaranteed for that game. So, but it'd still be nice to put another win or two on the board before the end of the actual year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so we have AJ, one of the most hated teams, polarizing teams in the league, versus Jewel, who we all feel sorry for. She just has a great team that underperforms, man. I don't know. So Jewel is projected to win. Hopefully she gets it done. Keeps me and Skip in the running as long as I win, you know what I mean? And then finally we have the Big Fish versus the Sincere Douche. That's me versus Skip. It's going to be a tight one right now. I think it's very close in terms of what they're projecting. They say I'm going to win, but they say I'm going to win a lot, and they always lie. I don't end up winning shit.
Don't trust Yahoo. They need to update their statisticians.
No, I know. Can't go by that.
I know. Tell me about it. But, we have Dez Bryant, thank God the dude didn't go off. And then Kelly didn't go off. I'll take that, man. DeSean Jackson went off. But three players got 43 points. Two players, I got 30 points. I mean,
yeah.
Basically,
you're right in the mix.
Basically, Le'Veon Bell, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So. We'll see what happens. But I'm so happy with myself that I didn't play Dorsett or I didn't play Doyle. Now,
those are both good calls.
Yeah. Now I just got to figure out who am I going to play. my options aren't many, but, you know, we'll see. Anyways, I'm going to call it right now. I win, surprise the world. And, you know, that's that. Let the best team win.
Yeah, you got to have some faith in your squad, man. So I'm feeling you on that one.
Anyways, it was a great podcast. I think we talked about a lot of great stuff, fantasy-wise, football-wise. It was great catching up with you guys. And any last words?
Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. Send me some sweet potato pie. It's been great. Good having y'all on the podcast.
Yeah, it was fun as always. Happy Thanksgiving late to everybody. And I will keep an eye out on what would you say, probably FedEx or UPS there, Simon, on my turkey and rum. Thanks.
All right, man. I'm going to spend these next 5 hours trying to go Black Friday shopping on other people's rosters.
Yo, Brad, everything's in the mail, expected tomorrow.
Yes.
Ish, don't sleep on Cyber Monday, okay? Don't sleep on Cyber Monday.
Absolutely. That's right.
Yo, well, I'm about to hit you up right now with that trade, son. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, hit me up, bro. I'm waiting.
All right. Stay fresh, everybody.